Welcome. Chapter 1, text 10. Okay. You have? Prayana payusha sabhya.
Prayana payusha sabhya.
Kalavasmin yuge jana. Manda sumanda matayo.
Manda sumanda matayo.
Manda bhagya hirupa dhruta.
Manda bhagya hirupa dhruta.
Translation. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. The devotees of the Lord are always anxious for the spiritual improvement of the general public. When the sages of Naimshananya analyze the state of affairs of people in this age of Kali,
what's the problem?
The devotees of the Lord are always anxious for the spiritual improvement of the general public. When the sages of Naimshananya analyze the state of affairs of the people in this age of Kali, they saw that men would live short lives. Kali Yuga, the duration of life is shortened, not so much because of insufficient food, but because of irregular habits. By keeping regular habits and eating simple food, any man can maintain his health. Overeating, over sense gratification, over dependence on another's mercy, and artificial standards of living sap the very vitality of human energies. Therefore, the duration of life is shortened. The people of this age are also very lazy, not only materially, but in the matter of self-realization. The human life is especially meant for self-realization. That is to say, man should come to know what he is, what the world is, and what the supreme truth is. Human life is a means by which the living entity can end all the miseries of the hard struggle for life in material existence, and by which he can return to Godhead, his eternal home. But due to a bad system of education, men have no desire for self-realization. Even if they come to know about it, they unfortunately become victims of misguided teachers. In this age, men are victims not only of different political creeds and parties, but also of many different types of sense gratificatory diversions, such as cinemas, sports, gambling, clubs, mundane libraries, bad association, smoking, drinking, cheating, pilfering, bickerings, and so on. Their minds are always disturbed and full of anxieties due to so many different engagements. In this age, many unscrupulous men manufacture their own religious faiths which are not based on any revealed scriptures, and very often people who are addicted to sense gratification are attracted by such institutions. Consequently, in the name of religion, so many sinful acts are being carried on people, on that people in general have neither peace of mind nor health of body. The student Brahmachari communities are no longer being maintained, and householders do not observe the rules and regulations of the
Grihastha
ashram. Consequently, the so-called
Vanaprasthas
and
Sannyasis
who come out of such
Grihastha ashramas
are even deviated from the rigid path. in the Kali Yuga, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. Men are no longer interested in spiritual values. Material sense gratification is now the standard of civilization. For the maintenance of such material civilizations, man has formed complex nations and communities, and there is a constant strain of hot and cold wars between these different groups. It has become very difficult, therefore, to raise the spiritual standards due to the present distorted values of human society. The sages of
Naimisaranya
are anxious to disentangle all fallen souls, and here they are seeking the remedy from
Srila Sutta Goswami.
Srila Sutta Goswami.
Om Agana Timanandasya Agananjana Shlakya Chakshumritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha means they do not understand what to do with their life. Just think. If we say, okay, money making, sense gratification, if you take those two things away from life, what is left? You understand? If we say, okay, no more money making, no more sense gratification, then the person says, what to do? This is death. That shows you, that simple test shows you that people do not know what the purpose of life is. That shows you that the people's intelligence has been destroyed. The civilization described in Srimad Bhagavatam gives you so much information about what else to do in life besides money making and sense gratification. But people do not know any information about this. And they don't care. That is the tragedy. Generation after generation doing the same thing. I think we were speaking last weekend about how the young people, they're doing the same as their parents. And their parents did the same as their parents. But because we are in illusion, we feel there's something special about my life. Yes? If we ask the average person, what is special about your life, they cannot say anything special. But they have this feeling, I am special, I am unique. But if we analyze, we see nothing special, nothing unique. Simply, they want money, and they want good sensuality, and some intoxication. Finished. That's it. This is a great tragedy for human civilization. And it is the way that the age of Kali operates. In other words, we are living in a certain period of human civilization in which this kind of destruction is normal. This age, as you heard, is called the age of Kali. It's a particular period. Now, human beings think that they are the most advanced right now. They think, oh, never has there been a time when human beings have been so intelligent and so powerful. But according to the Vedic knowledge, this is not true. According to the Vedic knowledge, the reverse is true, the opposite. Never has there been a time when human beings have been so low and so stupid. How do you know that you are low and stupid? What is a good test? That you have no understanding of how to control the mind and the senses. That means low and stupid. But people, they don't think they're low and stupid. They think, oh, I have money, therefore I am high. I have university education, therefore I am high. But can you control your senses? Can you control your mind? No, no, no. They don't even think about this. Control the senses? Control the mind? Why? In this way, people are easily exploited. Their whole life is wasted. How their life is wasted, that is described in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you give me the second canto there? Let us see if this description fits us. Your understanding so far? Okay? You can read, Kevin, you can read text number 3. If you think life is complicated, then just read this text and purport.
Translation. The lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime either in making money or maintaining family members. The present human civilization is primarily based on the principles of sleeping and sex indulgence at night and earning money in the day.
This is Japan.
Spending the same for family maintenance. Such a form of human civilization is condemned by the Bhagavata school. Because human life is a combination of matter and spirit soul, the whole process of Vedic knowledge is directed at liberating the spirit soul from the contamination of matter. Knowledge concerning this is called Atman. Those men who are too materialistic are unaware of this knowledge and are more inclined to economic development from material enjoyment. Such materialistic men are called Karmis, or fruitive laborers. They are allowed regulated economic development or association of women for sex indulgence. Those who are above the Karmis, that is the
Jnanis,
yogis and devotees, are strictly prohibited from sex indulgence. The Karmis and more or less devoid of atma-tattva knowledge. And as such, their life is spent without spiritual profit. The human life is not meant for hard labor, for economic development, nor is it meant for sex indulgence like that, dogs, hogs. It is officially meant for making a solution to the problems of material life and the miseries thereof. So the Karmis waste their valuable human life by sleeping in sex indulgence at night and by laboring hard in the daytime to accumulate wealth, and after doing so, they try to improve the standard of materialistic life. The materialistic way of life is described here in a nutshell, and how foolishly men waste the boon of human life is described.
Yes. So if I ask, what are the real problems of life? What will you say? Say, if I ask Kevin, what are the real problems in life? Can you describe what self-indulgence is? Why is that a problem?
It leads to a miserable life through being overly self-interested and not concerned for the welfare of others.
And what is the welfare of others?
provide the correct knowledge for their spiritual development.
Yes, that is the Bhagavad conclusion. This kind of life, as you describe, is a problem because it prevents you from seeing the real problems. In other words, a life of material indulgence. You could say self-indulgence, but no one knows the real self. So even to say self-indulgence, that's a compliment. You know, I'm a very self-indulgent person. No, you're not. You don't know what the self is. And it's like people fool themselves. They say, oh, he only cares about himself. You don't care about yourself. You don't know what the self is. So it is a great compliment. It's a great honor to say that someone is self-indulgent, because that implies, that means they know what the self is and they're indulging in the self. No. Actually, only a Krishna-conscious person is self-indulgent in the positive sense of the word. Because a Krishna-conscious person knows what the self is. Spirit, soul, part of Krishna, the Supreme Soul. In that way, a Krishna-conscious person can be self-indulgent in the perfect way. But the description you read in Srimad Bhagavatam, that is seemingly self-indulgence, but it has nothing to do with the self. Simply working to make money during the day, and at night, eating, drinking, sleep, sex. These days, especially in Japan, people work so hard, they just come home, eat, drink, and go to sleep. So, that is not self-indulgence. Real self-indulgence means to do something for the self. But if we have no idea what the self is, we cannot do anything for the self. So, by this illusion that you're taking care of the self, you become blind to the real problems of life. So self, the so-called self-indulgence is not actually the real problem. It prevents you from seeing the real problems. So can you go deeper, Kevin, and give us a deeper understanding of the real problems? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains janma mrityu jaya vyadi dukkha doshanudarshanam. An intelligent person is one who can see that there are four basic barriers to your happiness. Understand? Barriers. Four basic things are blocking your attempts to be happy. These things are, in Sanskrit, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease. As long as you are in the grip of these things, you cannot be happy. When you are so-called self-indulgent, you cannot see this. It is impossible for me to have real happiness as long as I must suffer from birth, death, disease, and old age. No, we don't see that. We think, no, it will be possible for me to be happy. We forget that this body is limiting us. This body is giving us so many problems. We don't see that, especially when we are young. When you are little, you just want to play. And then you become a teenager. It's time for romance. And then you become in your 20s. It's time for hard work because you need money. Then you're in your 30s. It's time to take care of children. Then when you're in your 40s, you worry about society. Mm-hmm. 40s and 50s, you worry about society. What is happening with the world? Then when you are in 60, you simply worry about your body. Oh, my body is breaking down. And then you die. Where you go, you don't know. This is a great tragedy, as seen from the Vedic point of view. To die and have no idea where you're going next. This is a tragedy. But no one thinks it's a tragedy in today's civilization. I'll find out when it happens. That's what they say. I'll think about it when it happens. From the Vedic viewpoint, that is the answer of a cat or a dog. But in modern so-called civilization, that is an intelligent answer. Or else they say, why worry about it? By worrying about these things, you ruin your fun. You spoil your fun. What happens, happens. Or else they say, just trust in the universe. It'll take care of you. Just have a good intention in your heart. And all good will come to you. From the Vedic standard, according to the Vedic standard, this is animal life. To die and have no understanding where you will go. And while you're living, you don't understand that all your attempts at happiness are being destroyed by these four things. Birth, death, old age, and disease. So, this driver thinks he's happy by driving like that. He has a powerful car. Maybe he has the MX-7. They still make those. Yes, so, yeah, I have a MX-7. Look, I can burn rubber. I can make these sounds. Similarly, we think, I have this body. I can be happy. The body is like a vehicle, you understand? And we think, yes, I will drive it and get happiness. So that driver, you heard him. So we have this body. We're also doing things. All the senses, you know. Just like the driver of the car. Yeah? He thought he was going to be happy by making those sounds. Yeah? And you're thinking, oh, why is he doing that? Right? You know about cars. So you know he's actually destroying his car by doing that, right? Yeah, he's ruining the tires, you know. Similarly, by trying for sense gratification, we're actually ruining the body, but we think it's pleasure. So we can easily see that the man who was driving like that is foolish. But we cannot see that by acting with our body for sense gratification, we are ruining the body. We cannot see that. Not only are we ruining the body, but we're ruining our whole life. Because the more you engage in activities of illusion, the more you lose your ability to see clearly what is my life. How many of you had parents that would say, come here, my dear boy. Come here, my dear girl. You must understand what is the real meaning of life. That is the most important thing for you. Anyone have parents who did that? Except Kishori. Only Kishori. Yes? Oh, your father was a communist, you thought. That was the real meaning of life for him. Huh? What? So, just see how we are willing to live a life without thinking. When you are a young boy, you just play. When you're a little girl, you played, yes? With dolls? Yes. When you were a little boy, you played with what? Toy guns and trucks and cars? You must have played with something strange, right? Chemistry set, make bombs or something. In New Zealand, yes, you told me how you bombing letterboxes, yes? You probably ask, please get me for Christmas a chemistry set. I want to, you know, advance my knowledge. So your relatives very happily get you a chemistry set, and then you simply make bombs to put in the post box. So when we are little, we just play. And then what happens when you are a teenager? Suddenly the world looks different when your hormones change. Hormones, you know? The boys, the girls. And then your whole life changes. You have to get a boy, you have to get a girl. That's teenage life. Then, in your 20s, you're still thinking like that, of course, but then you know. Yes, boy must have girl, girl must have boy, but we need money. So then in your 20s and 30s, you work hard to get money. What's the purpose of the money? To provide good atmosphere for sexual indulgence. Because simply the sex in itself, it gets boring. It's like you take an orange and you squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it. How many times can you squeeze before it just gets tiring, boring? Squeeze the orange, squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. So, because actually sexual indulgence is boring, then you think, we need money to make different atmosphere to do the same thing. We'll get a nice house, and there we'll do the same thing. Sexual indulgence in a nice house, sexual indulgence in a nice car, sexual indulgence on the beach, or in Hawaii, or here. It's all the same thing, but you need money to try to make some freshness for this thing that is not fresh. The same thing parents and grandparents have done. But you think, we are special, we are unique, we are going to get some special freshness out of this. And for that we need money. It's amazing if you can analyze your life and see that's what's going on. Economic development for sense gratification. In order to try to make the sense gratification fresh, you need money. Because it's very painful to see that it's just actually the same old thing. So to cover this truth, you need money. To cover the truth of material existence, you need money. What is actually going on in material existence? The body going through its phases. It's born, and it must become sick, and get old, and die. But we don't want to think about that. But if we don't think about these things, how can we actually be concerned with our own benefit? In order for there to be a genuine human society with genuine relationships, people have to become concerned about these things. Otherwise, you don't know how to act for your happiness. How can you be happy when you're in the grip of these things? Time is destroying all your happiness. It is time that is harassing us. Time stops our hopes. It stops our attempts at pleasure. It is time that makes everything grow stale. You know this word stale? Stale. Stale. The opposite of fresh. You have some bread, and it's fresh, and then in 2 weeks, if you... What? It loses the flavor, it loses the taste, like old bread. So this is what's actually going on in life. Time is forcing this upon you. You want fresh pleasure. And time says, no. You only get the hope of fresh pleasure. That's all. It's all in the mind. There will be fresh pleasure. There will be some magic moments. But what's actually happening? Time is spoiling everything. Everything becomes stale. An intelligent person can see how time is doing this. But the fool doesn't see this. The fool just thinks, oh, I am young. I shall enjoy my senses. I shall make money. I shall establish myself. I shall make my nice situation. The fool has no idea how time is destroying all this. As soon as you understand that you are spirit soul, part of Krishna, then you think, what am I doing all this for? Why? That's the beginning of liberation. To understand that spirit soul is different from the body. Therefore, how can I think that I will be happy by pleasing the body? If you can understand that you are spirit soul, not the body, then you can live very simply because you won't need so many things. But when you think you are the body, then you think, oh, I need this for the body, that for the body. Very complicated bodily existence. But when you understand you're not the body, then life can be lived very simply because you are trying to feed the soul. And what is it that the soul needs? The soul needs the nectar of relationship with the Supreme Soul, Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, they give you that nectar of relationship with the Supreme Soul. We must understand that there is an energy that is causing us to become confused. And by materialistic or non-Krishna conscious activities, we are infected by that energy and become bewildered, become confused. If you want to stop the confusion in your life, you must change your lifestyle. It is lifestyle, the way you live, that puts you in contact with the material energy. And when you are in contact with the material energy, you lose your natural spiritual intelligence. And you become bewildered. You become covered. You cannot see. The most important things about life, you cannot see because of your living habits. They prevent you from seeing. It's a very important point. How you live your life is important because if you live one way, you can see clearly. If you live another way, you cannot see. We have to analyze our life and understand what is my lifestyle? What is my living habit? That's where you'll find the problem. As Kevin was reading about the lifestyle of the envious householder, that lifestyle will prevent you from understanding any spiritual truth. You'll never be able to understand yourself as long as you live like that. And then we have the lifestyle of the spiritually dedicated person, the Krishna conscious person. Why do we do the things we do in Krishna consciousness? Why do we not do certain things? All so that our lifestyle becomes most effective for understanding Krishna. Understand? So it's not like we're just doing so many things because it's an ancient religion. No. Everything we're doing is very specific for improving our lifestyle so that we can understand Krishna. But today, people cannot understand Krishna. They cannot even understand the basic truths of life. That time is ruining my pleasure. That as long as I must take birth, get old, get sick, and die, I cannot be happy. They can't even understand these things. That's why people have a hard time understanding Krishna. So let us analyze our life. Let us see what direction we're going in. Let us see the direction that the general population is going in. Let us see the direction our friends and family have gone in. Where does it lead? Let us not become so absorbed in our body the way it is right now and think that's the way it is. Now I am a little boy. Now I am a teenage girl. Now I am a man in my 20s or 30s. These things are external. They are coverings. They are not us. But because of our lifestyle, we cannot see beyond these temporary stages of life. Infancy, childhood, teenage years, adult, young adult years, old adult years. The sages at Naimisharanya, this is a holy place which you'll still find in India, they are concerned that people will live in such a horrible way and ruin their life, waste their life. The sages of Naimisharanya are anxious to disentangle all fallen souls. And here they are seeking the remedy from Srila Sutta Goswami. The business of a Krishna conscious person is to disentangle others. It's a very nice word, disentangle. You know this word, disentangle? Disentangle. It's in this... Look in this book. No, you don't read it, because you're short. Get the Japanese book. Huh? You know, disentangle? Disentangle. That means I'm entangled. Disentangle, entangle. Understand? Entangled. Just think, if you think of yourself as entangled, I'm entangled. How does that sound? In Japanese, how does it sound? I am entangled. You understand, Kishore? Entangle is the opposite of disentangle. Entangled means like a cat with yarn, you know? Just, you can't get out. Huh? Huh? So think about it. I am entangled. How does it feel to be entangled? You understand? And then, to be disentangled means to become free. The purpose of spiritual life is to disentangle you. But people are so crazy, they like to be entangled. Oh, I'm entangled. I have so many things binding me. I have so many things tying me up. How nice. This is crazy. Krishna consciousness is the art and science how to become disentangled. How to recognize what entanglement is and how to become free. Any questions? So please think about this. You should think, what should I do to escape this situation? Yes, what should I do to escape this situation? Once we escape this situation, then we can talk about pleasure. Otherwise, no. It's just a joke, an illusion. You know, in Japan, is there a death penalty for criminals? Yes, yes. Murderers can be killed by government, yes. So, in the USA, when a criminal is going to be executed, when the government is about to kill a criminal, on the morning that he's to be killed, they always say, okay, what would you like for your last meal? You can have anything you want for your last meal. Meal. Yes. Whatever food you want, your last meal, you can say, you get. So, we think that this is freedom. We think that this is pleasure. For a few moments, I can get whatever I want. This is illusion. Why only for a few moments? Why just your last meal before you die? Your last food before you die? Why? And we are satisfied in this way? Ah, it's my last food. I can have whatever I want. I'm so happy. Krishna consciousness has two parts. One part is to discuss what is illusion. The other part is to discuss what is perfect life, perfect spiritual existence. Both parts are necessary. When you chant Hare Krishna, then you are taking care of both things. Chanting Hare Krishna frees you from illusion, and chanting Hare Krishna gives you a taste of perfect existence. So you're doing two things at once, positive and negative. When you chant Hare Krishna, you awaken your thirst for Krishna. Who is Krishna? You want to understand Krishna. You want to hear about Krishna. You want to serve Krishna. That is the natural effect that you get by chanting Hare Krishna. And of course, your fever of material life goes down. People think that progress and human development is to raise the fever of material life. More things, more things. But actually, real human development is to bring down the fever. Now, how to live so that the fever comes down? Who knows that? And, of course, how to live so that you can experience the perfect spiritual reality. So please remember, Krishna consciousness is both positive and negative. It teaches you about the prison, and it teaches you about life outside the prison. It teaches you both about life inside the prison and life outside the prison. Then you can make your choice. Some people like to stay in prison. I know some persons in New Zealand, some boys, and they're always in prison. Why? Because they like it. They said, you get so many things here. You get, they give you, jeans. They give you shoes. It's nice here. Yes, I have met someone like that. And they smuggle into the prison, drugs, cigarettes, everything like that. Mm-hmm. It's nice and secure here. We have all that we need. Television, jeans, cigarettes, drugs. We are meant to be free. So what is the life of a free spirit soul? That we need to understand. The life of a free spirit soul is a life of giving pleasure to the Supreme Soul, giving pleasure to Krishna. All right. So I tried to speak very simply today. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Otherwise, when I'm in New Zealand, I speak very complicated. Because the Kiwis are very quick-minded. Because this is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's see if I can find it quickly. Vasudeva Bhagavati Yoga Prayojita. Ah, yes. Chapter 2, Text 7. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Chanayat Yasru Vairagyam Yanam Chayadaitukam. By rendering devotional service under the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Can read in Japanese? Kartik, you found it? Chapter 2, Text 7, she has? Okay, read. Yes. Simply by performing devotional service, you become filled with knowledge and you become free from entanglement. It's very mystical. In Japan, people like mystical things. So this is real mystical. You become filled with spiritual knowledge and you become free from entanglement simply by practicing the process of Krishna consciousness. because you please Krishna, and Krishna says, all right, I let you out of prison. So we don't think we are in prison. We think, oh, I'm going to be so happy. My life will be nice. I will work hard. I will have money. I will enjoy my body. And that's all there is to life. And I will have children and teach them how to do the same thing. I won't teach them. The government will teach them. That's what governments are for. I will simply work and spend the money. In Tokyo, there are many temples. You understand? Many temples, shrines. Yes, yes. Lots. Takashi Maya. What else? Gap. Gap. You used to go to these temples? They are like these are the temples of society. Yes, you have the holy names. You have been in them? You've seen them? Yeah. They're like temples, you know. People have an awe, attitude of awe and reverence. Like they're before the deity. So we want to take that attitude and give it to Krishna. But then, oh, who is Krishna? What is Takashi Maya? Oh, very nice. You get money, you go to Takashi Maya, you become happy. That is the biggest. Yes, Takashi Maya is the biggest. Let us say, Kevin, if you knew that you had 1 year to live, what would you do? And Ai, if you knew you had 1 year to live, what would you do? Only 1 year. Now what? After 1 year, no more Kevin. Your body will be finished in 1 year. Now what? But just see, we're thinking, oh, if I only had 1 year, oh, very bad. But we don't even know if we have 1 day. But we don't think like that. We think, oh, I have so much time. Why? Because I have so many plans. The mind has an energy of its own. So the mind is very energetic. Yes, because I have plans, therefore I will live. The mind makes you feel that way because your mind is full of plans. You think the body will last forever. But as Kevin said, if I knew I had 1 year left, I'd probably be a bit more serious about Krishna consciousness. But since I know I have more than a year left, I know. I'm a nice guy. I'd never die early. That only happens to some other people, and not that many. This is the mind tricking us, because the mind has so many plans. It has an intensity of its own. Your mind is like a motor, and so therefore you think, I will always be here. And then you think, oh, me and my wife, we have so many plans, so of course we're going to live. We've only just begun to live. You know that song, "We've Only Just Begun to Live"? You know that song? We need to find out about another kind of lifestyle. Krishna consciousness is all about lifestyle, but the lifestyle of real pleasure. In order for there to be real pleasure, there must be purification. You understand? But who knows about purification? Well, I'm far into what I am. I know what happiness is. I know what pleasure is. Therefore, we invite everyone, please seriously chant Hare Krishna. Oh, I have no time. What is it anyway? Hare Krishna. What does it do for you? Does it put more money in your bank? Does it make your sense gratification better? If I say, Kevin, we are now going to give you a course. It's a free course, and when you finish it, you will be a millionaire for sure. What would you do? Free course, after you finish, you'll become a millionaire. You'll know how to be a millionaire for sure. Especially if it's free, you probably just, you know, take the, yeah, well, why not, you know? I would say, come on, Kevin, get the money. So she's the business lady in the family, huh? And if I say, chant Hare Krishna, and upon seriously chanting Hare Krishna, you'll see that you are free from material entanglement. Oh, well. Yeah, yeah, well. Right. So we are exposed. This shows where we are at. Like this verse we studied today described. The age of Kali, the symptoms of the age of Kali. Lazy about our self-interest. Lazy about our self-development. Don't care for ourselves, really. Just give me a few moments of pleasure. That's all I want. I don't mind working like a dog. Just give me a few moments. A few good drinks. One happy time every week. That's all I want. This is not human life. But then you think, what else am I to do? What, is there some other way? Yes, there is some other way. Well, if what you're saying is true, why isn't everybody doing that? How many people are in Tokyo? How many people are here in this room? Ah, you see? You have to analyze the activities of the people of Tokyo and see. Is that the example you want to follow? Might makes right. The more people who are doing something, that makes it good. In this way, we say that Krishna consciousness is not for fools. That is the problem. That is the problem. Prabhupada always gave the example. Not many people can afford diamonds. Maybe in Japan, many people have diamonds. Yes. But not big diamonds, huh? A diamond this big, not many people can afford. But does that mean shops should never sell them? No, no one will object. Your shop is selling such big diamonds only a few people can buy. Similarly, only a few people may want Krishna consciousness, but still we go on distributing it.